Amen. Okay, everybody give me an amen to make sure this thing is working so I can make sure I'm recording right, because I was going to play another song, but it was not the right song. Evidently, when I created the shortcut, I gave it close to the same name, but it was a song that I played last week, so I was recording, so I decided to let this thing go. Just to let you know a little bit, please forgive me if I'm not speaking hard enough, or if I seem to slow down a little bit, or just can't get the words out, folks. I had several things going on last week. I got a cracked tooth. It broke on me. That's kind of giving me pain, but which is worse right now, I got some bad blisters on my tongue, and it's making it hard for me to talk. And I was thinking about canceling this for tonight and try again next week, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot. It's just that blister is right underneath the tongue, and it's rubbing on the bottom of that tooth, and it's just, man, I'm telling you, it's murder. So welcome. I'm glad that you're here. It's Friday night. Fred is with us, but he's on some bad Wi-Fi connections, and he's falling in and out. So those of you who are here, I'm glad to see you here. So just please bear with me. We may go a little bit longer because I can't speak so fast, so I'm going to try my best. So I'm glad that you're here. Those of you, again, y'all are here, y'all know what I'm speaking about, and hopefully some more might start showing up. But me and a pastor friend was talking this morning, and we're kind of, you know, talking about the church, you know, how, you know, we got people that's coming, but it seemed like we should have more. But it's like, you know, we start off with something new, and they kind of come in, and after that, they just fall off, and it just seemed like they lose the desire. But it's not just our church. We're seeing it in many churches today. It just seemed like people just don't have the desire to fellowship. They don't have the desire, you know, to be in service no more. They don't have the desire just to seem to be fed. You know, they're just falling off, you know. And, you know, I think it's kind of the sign of the times, but it seemed like the older people, as I mentioned to my friend, I said, you know, I've been hearing some comments, and some that I've been talking to have said, well, I put in my time, so I really don't need to be here all the time. You know, well, folks, I thought about that comment, and I said to myself and to my friend, I said, you know what? I don't get it. You know, I owe Christ. I owe him everything. And to me, I can't repay the debt that he paid for me. He called me a friend. He died for me. He suffered on that cross for me. By all rights, he owns me. And I owe him everything. So I'm not just going to say, well, after so many years of serving church, well, I paid my dues. I don't need to be there for Sunday school. I don't need to be there for evening services. I'm just going to show up for morning services, and that's going to be it. And then I go about living my life like it is. Folks, our lives should be grossly involved in giving God all. I mean all. Look, I know there are circumstances at times we can't make it to church. I know we can't make it a class. I know we can't, but we should not use that as an excuse to do that every Sunday, every Wednesday or Thursday night, you know, or even if some that was coming to this chat, just quit. I'm not condemning them, but something's wrong. They lost their love. They lost something. I just don't know what it is, but folks, I'm there because I owe God. I owe him everything. Now, last week, in last week's message, I started speaking about the whole armor of God and what each part of that armor does for us Christians. You know, we've been going over the armor of God in our Thursday nights at church, and it's been very, very good. So I started doing some deeper studies, digging deeper into the full meaning of each piece of the armor of God. And this is why I was led, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do a serious message of the armor of God. And that's why, again, I'm loving what I'm digging into it. I'm loving what I'm finding. And I hope that you're going to enjoy it, because we will be going through the armor of God, and we're going to cover every piece of that armor. Now, the first piece of the armor that I've spoken of was the helmet of your salvation. I hope you got a lot out of it. The message is on my sermon channel now that you can re-listen to it. But I hope that you got a lot out of that message. So in tonight's message, I will be speaking on the breastplate of righteousness. Also in this message, folks, I want you to understand this, and this is me saying this, and I firmly believe this. In this message, we learn that righteousness comes to the believer in two classifications, too. Now, there are some groups out there that preaches a little bit different. Some believes this and they don't believe that. Some believes that and some don't believe this. But me and my studies, and I'm standing firm on this, and our lesson tonight and our message tonight, that we're learning that righteousness comes to us in two classifications. The first one is imputed. And what that means is what Christ did for us. We believe in him, justified us, and gives us the right standing with God. In other words, we believe what Christ did for us. And because of what he did for us, justifies us and gives us a right standing with God, just as Abraham believed, and it was imputed for him for righteousness. So it was imputed to Abraham what Christ did. Same applies to us. The second one I'm going to say to us, imparted. Some says, nope, that don't belong to us. To me, again, as I said, yes, it does. Imparted to me, that which Christ works in and through the believer. Bear with me. The believer must not only believe in righteousness, he or she must put it on as a breastplate. In fact, folks, it must be a way of life for us. Only as a believer walks in righteousness is he protected, because righteousness is the soil or the ground in which fearless faith is born and grows. How do I know this? Well, in my studies, as I found out in Isaiah 54:14, which says, in righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Now, in our chapter for tonight, if you read in Ephesians, notice the wording what Paul says, and I like it, and I got this underlined, and when we're reading this chapter, you will get to it. We will be in chapter 6 of Ephesians, by the way, so you can turn to it while I'm saying this. In Ephesians 6, we notice that the wording when Paul says, and I like it, three words, put it on. So in this chapter, we find out why and how it protects us from the advances and the attacks of the enemy in this message. So when you think about this, why is the breastplate of righteousness so imperative to spiritual warfare? You would think, well, you know, all the armor is very important to spiritual warfare. You would think that. And in fact, it is. But why is this breastplate so imperative to spiritual warfare? Why don't you think about that a little bit while I grab me some water? Want the answer? Okay. The answer is righteousness, my friends, is representative by the breastplate, because the breastplate covers the vital organs of the body. Thus, righteousness protects the soul and the conscience of the Christian. Righteousness before God is the basics of authority of the believer. Only those who understand and receive the gift of righteousness can exercise authority over Satan's kingdom, because righteousness creates boldness. Let me repeat that. Only those who understand and receive the gift of righteousness can exercise authority over Satan's kingdom, because that righteousness creates boldness in us. Because if we did not have this boldness, pay close attention to this, if you and I did not have this boldness, folks, this is a fact. Satan can strip the child of God of his sense of righteousness. Then he can wound his heart, his conscience, and if this wound is not healed quickly, certain spiritual death will result in a believer's life. That's kind of a scary thought. You see, folks, if you don't believe, if you don't have that boldness, then Satan, my friends, will strip you of righteousness. And once he can do that, he will wound your heart and even sear your conscience. And folks, if this wound is not healed quickly, again, as I said, spiritual death will result in a believer's life. That is why the breastplate of righteousness is a vital piece of armor, to our armor that we must wear in spiritual warfare against the enemy. Now, as she just posted, we are in Ephesians chapter 10, verse 6. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. That's the scriptures we will be reading for tonight. And starting with verse 10, and she has it posted. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in all the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow, important words. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for giving me the opportunity to stand here before these folks. Thank you for allowing me to come to this message and allow me to do some deeper study on realizing what the whole armor really is. You know, I never looked at it in great detail. Sure, I kind of glanced over it. Sure, I studied a little bit about it, and I kind of had some meaning and understanding. But, you know, the more I dig into this, the more I'm fascinated by how each part is so important in our spiritual war. We know that we are battling the flesh, but we're also battling a spiritual war. And we also know that if we are bold enough to wear this armor, we can stand boldly against the devil himself. Father, I know we're not strong enough to take him on by ourselves. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit's help. Jesus, we need you to give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom. We don't go after him foolishly. No, we don't. But Father, we know, according to what your son did, he used the word of God against him. But yet, we are also told that we are fighting a war. And I know it's a hard war to fight. We struggle. We have difficulties. We're up and down. Yes, we do slip. And yes, we sin. And yes, because of the cross. Because of your mercy, because of your grace, we can always come back. So, Father, give us the strength, the wisdom, the courage we need to stand boldly against the wiles of the devil himself. And I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. Father, give them the strength, the courage, and the wisdom. They are dealing with many things just as I am. But we must firmly believe. We must stand truth. We must stand firm. We must stand boldly and trust you that you will take care of it. So thank you again for giving us the opportunity to gather together. We love you, we praise you, and glorify you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. And that's why I titled this message tonight, Putting on the Breastplate of Righteousness. Now, a little info before we go further. And did you know that when you read about the breastplate of righteousness, and as I said earlier, when I was talking about imputed and imparted, that you find, if you look up the information, you'll find a debate about it, or at times heated discussions and disagreements about whether the righteousness that Paul is speaking about is imputed righteousness or imparted righteousness. Now, if you look that up, you will find there is a heated debate. There are lots of arguments. There are lots of people saying it's only one but not the other. Well, like I said, folks, from what I see in scriptures, to me, it's both. You might say, well, Jim, I think you're wrong on that. You know, I don't agree with it. And that's your right. You don't have to agree with me. We should be mature enough, or mature brothers and sisters, to say, okay, maybe I agree with them, maybe I don't. But that's you. But I'm sorry, but like I said, to me, as I really went through these scriptures and studying this, I used to think it was one. But now, no. I see it's both. I see it both. Because the reason why I am saying this, my friends, before we get further into this message, to me, imputed and imparted righteousness is what we get when we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and are saved and sealed with God's Holy Spirit. This is how we will gain access to God's heaven. Imparted righteousness is what we receive as we daily allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide our decisions, our desires, our emotions, and thinking. And give you some reference to read up on this. You see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You see this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Also, you see this in Romans chapter 17, verse 14 through 25. Don't take my word for it. Read up on it and you will see. Imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness to me is what we both get when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So to me, my friends, Paul gives clear teachings in his letters that I believe, to me, I see this in his letters that I believe settles the discussion between those who wish to debate it, and that is only one or the other. Now, if you notice me, you know, a lot of times in this chat room, people came in to debate us. They wanted to debate scriptures. Well, you know, a lot of times I just shut them down and say, you know what? I'm not here to debate it. I'm just here to let you know. I'm just here to let you know what scriptures are saying. You know, scriptures again says, study to prove thyself. So I'm not going to get involved in useless debate. So I'm going to say to you, you read up on it. If you agree with it, fine. If not, okay, cool. We're all right. We're not going to be mortal enemies. But again, folks, to give you some more information, if you read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, Paul again uses the word righteousness to speak about the new man, meaning imputed. That is created when you and I trust Jesus as our Savior and confess Him as Lord. Now, if you look in chapter 5, verse 9, he uses it as righteous behavior, meaning imparted. So, according to this very letter, it is our trust in Jesus that works itself out of behavior empowered by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the will of God. There it is, friends, right there in God's words, not mine. This ain't Jimbo saying this. That's his words, and his words what speaks. So what's the problem with those who says, well, it's only one or the other? Well, to me, this is what I see. It's a lack of understanding the Word of God. See, if you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's what it boils down to. It's the problem of the heart. They're not seeing it. Okay, but I'm not going to hate them. I'm still going to love them. But scriptures are very clear. I used to believe imputed only, imparted did not apply. I used to think that way. But when reviewing all this, I saw this, whoa. Man, have I kind of got that wrong. The Lord had to convict me on this. Well, you know what? It's both. It's both. When we are saved, we are granted that righteousness. So to me, that settles it. And the reason why I said this, because when Jesus himself says, why should I let you into my heaven? The right answer is because, and this is how we should answer him if he asks us the question. If he was to look at you and said, okay, why should I let you into my heaven? The right answer out of our mouth should be this, because of the shed blood and finished work of the cross, of what you did, Jesus. See, folks, I trust him and I accept his forgiveness of my sins. And that gives us a right standing before God because of his shed blood. Because of what he did for us at the cross, makes us right before God in his eyes. Whew. That's a lot, I know. So let's get back on track for this message for tonight. So, Where does the breastplate of righteousness comes in? Where does it come in all this? And what is the functions of the breastplate? So let's look at several things and its meaning. The first one is the breastplate, and we already know we got that established. And the meaning of that is our standing before God. You see, folks, when we turn our lives over to Jesus and confess Him as Lord, we receive a new heart in theological terms, and this, my friends, is called regeneration. We have been regenerated. This is also called imputed righteousness. Now remember, we are at war. The enemy always seeks to demoralize, to discourage, and cause us to doubt. With a new heart, we, you and I, need to protect it. The breastplate of righteousness is the only protection that is effective against the attacks of the devil. Why do I say this? Well, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. Pay attention to it or read it. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Wow. It is the source of life. In Hebrew thoughts, the heart was the mind and the will, or the inner man, and the bowels were the seat of his emotions. And that's what the Hebrew thoughts was. But the breastplate of a Roman soldier, the breastplate of the Roman soldier protected them, and you look at it, and if you go do some Googling on it, it protected them from the neck all the way down to the waist. And for us, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are protecting our entire heart of the inner man. Y'all know where the heart is. See, people think the mind is what it is, but no, it's the heart that governs the mind. See, if you don't have a righteous heart, then your mind is free. Whew, I can't even describe to do what it wants to do. The heart governs the inner man. So, what is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, and I love this, but since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put on the armor of faith, meaning trust, and love on our chest, and put on the helmet of hope of salvation. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. See, folks, the breastplate is the first and foremost in our trust with Jesus Christ. We do not have righteousness on our own. Forget about it. There's no way. We don't have it on our own. So when we trust Jesus, we agree, we need Him as Lord, and His, let me back this up. When we trust Jesus, we agree that we need Him as Lord, and His perfect, clean life is credited to you and I. It's credited to us. We don't do that on our own. See, when God says, not guilty, Not guilty, Beth. Not guilty, Toby. Not guilty, Lisa. Not guilty, Jimmy. It's not because you and I been good, but because God exchanges our sin for Jesus' righteousness. You can't get a breastplate with money. You can't buy that. You can't get it with service. You can't get it with attendance. You can't get it with good works. Sorry, it don't work that way. You only get it when you trust what God has said and done. The righteousness of Jesus then becomes a protection for our heart from the lies and the attacks of the devil. It is Christ's righteousness that protects your heart from the accusations of the devil. It is Christ's righteousness that protects us from the advances and enticements of the devil. It is Jesus' righteousness that allows us access to God. It is the devil that wants us to stay away from fellowship with Jesus. And I was looking something on the internet to try to tie this in of this last statement, and I found a little statement here by an older lady. She was telling a friend the secret of her victorious Christian life. And the person asked her, okay, well, what was the secret? And this is what she said. You see, when the devil knocks, I let Jesus answer. Simple, isn't it? When the devil's knocking at your door, don't answer it. Let Jesus answer it. That's all we got to do. So where do we learn to have the righteousness of Jesus guarding our hearts? Where do we learn that? Simple, folks. Very easily. If you're not doing it, I suggest you do. Learn it from the Word of God. It is the belt of truth that holds the breastplate of righteousness. That's what I said. When I started looking up this information about the Roman soldier, when he wore that breastplate, believe it or not, that belt slightly attached to the breastplate, even to protect that little area so no sword can get in between the cracks. It continually kept protecting going further down. I didn't know that. I kind of thought there was a little gap, so I figured, something could be stabbed, a little knife in that part. But no, that belt latches onto that and covers the rest of that part down to the leggings before it even gets down to their shoes. When I kind of saw that and saw pictures of it, I was like, wow, I didn't know that. So what do we do when the devil tries to make us doubt or even tries to discourage us? What do we do? When he says, and I know y'all heard this before, when he says, oh, look how you just exploded in anger. Look how you got mad. Look how you lied to cover your tracks. Look how you lusted after that man or that woman. Look how you lied and cheated on your taxes. Ooh, somebody didn't want to hear that probably, huh? Look how you gossip about a person. So what kind of Christian you claim to be? How would you answer him when the charges are true and we are guilty? How do we answer that? Easy. You answer with the breastplate of righteousness. This is the righteousness that is given to you by God. You are right, Satan. You're right. You're right. I did that. I did all you just said. Yes, I did sin. But let me tell you something. My eternal life does not depend on my sinless behavior or track records. It doesn't depend on that. I am trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness credited to my account. I'm trusting that. Now what you got to say. So when you think about that, how do we know our trust is real? How do you know your children really trust you? How do we know that Abraham, David, Daniel, Joseph, just to name a few, trusted God? How do we know that? Well, folks, their trust and dependence on God produce righteous lives. Their trust was revealed in behaving as God directed. That's right. The second thing that a breastplate of righteousness does for us is our showing before men. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says this: "In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Oh, I love that. Folks, truth isn't real until it is put into action. Truth isn't real until it's put into action. Love is trust in action. We don't trust that God knows our future until we live it as he tells us to live. That's a hard saying sometimes, isn't it? We don't trust God with our finances until we spend money like he tells us to spend it. We don't trust God with relationships until we deal with them like he tells us to deal with them. And there is one difference between demons and disciples. One difference. Now you're probably thinking, what is it? I probably can let you just hang on this and move on. But no, folks, there is one difference between demons and disciples. Did you know that the Bible says that they both believed? Huh? What? Really? Nah. Yes, folks. Demons and disciples both believe. The difference is the demons shudder and continue in terror and rebellion. Disciples, on the other hand, repent and agree that God is right and we need a new heart. Then they begin to follow Jesus. That's the difference. That's the difference. And you know, I said this earlier, imparted righteousness comes when you or I allow the Holy Spirit to control our hearts and empower us to live like Jesus. Our showing before men depends on your obedience towards God. See, I don't know if y'all know this, but Ray Steadman said it best. I like this statement. He said, "No Christian has the right to a private life. Our lives are to be lived openly before all men, transparent, a spectacle unto all the world. We have no private lives, and we must not expect to have one." This is basically and fundamentally wrong. Christians are to be demonstrations of the real truth. And they do so in several ways. And they are: A, practical righteousness protects us from wrong thinking. It is the inner man that protects outward evil. Our thinking needs to be transformed by the righteous word of God. And parents, be careful. If you don't train your children to be spiritual warriors, you are allowing them to become spiritual sacrifices to the enemy. Married couples, if you don't guard your hearts from evil thoughts about the spouse and lust towards others, you will offer an opening to the devil in your marriage. Students, guard your hearts, or the devil will use peer pressure and desires to be well liked as an opportunity and opening to attack. That's a lot. B, practical righteousness protects us, and I love this one, from wrong emotions. Paul said in his letter to Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 27, great verse. Me and my wife, we're practicing this a lot, but we've gotten away from it. But I was just reminded throughout this message, we were doing that, but I got away from it. I think it's time to start practicing that again. If we all were to do this, life to us would be a lot more easier. Listen to what it says. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. That's some strong words. Because if we are angry, we're angry with our spouses, but let me just throw this a little bit into there. If we are angry with friends, and we let the sun go down on our anger, we're giving devil the place in our lives. In fact, we're opening doors and say, come right on in. You see, when we're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, it keeps us in check. It controls our emotions. Because again, I'm telling you, the main organ is the heart. And I love how John Piper said this. John Piper says that sin, meaning lust for an example, gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be more happy if I follow it. See, folks, the power of all temptation is the prospect that will make me happier. That's how some people think. Oh, if I had this, it'd make me happy. If I just go fool around a little bit, it'd make me happy. If I can get what I want. And lust does not necessarily mean sexual relationships or sexual thoughts. Lust can be many, many things. Money, cars, power, positions, fame. We can lust after all those things. We can make them become idols in our lives. See, if we're not having that proper breastplate of righteousness, oh, it'll get to the heart. Here's the slick thing I just found out. What the devil doesn't want you to know is that it is easier to fight and defeat the first desire, feel choice, than it is to satisfy all the ones that follow it. Folks, we must guard our hearts against runaway emotions. We must do that. See, I don't know if y'all know his name, Charles Wallis, W-A-L-L-I-S. He's famous for one song. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Don't Google it. Just say, do you know if you don't? Probably not. Okay, I do. Okay, you will understand. You maybe. Charles Wallis was the singer for Boston. And his famous song was More Than a Feeling. See, that was a very popular song in the 1970s. And now they incorporated that song into the Guitar Hero video game. See, the irony of this song is it's all about feelings and emotions. Listen to the lyrics, how it starts off when it says, I looked out this morning and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day. I lost myself in a familiar song. I closed my eyes and slipped away. So many people love to do that today. That's what they love to do. Turn on some music, get lost in a familiar song, close their eyes, and slip away from reality. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. If we're not careful, our emotions will run us over and control our lives. Oh, it's easy to get lost in feelings. And that's something I had to learn a long, long time ago. You and I must live by faith. Live by faith, not by feelings. Feelings will fool you. How do I know this? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. Out of control emotions come from a life that is not saturated with scriptures or not surrendered to the Spirit of God. And see, practical righteousness, and I love this one, protects us from wrong choices. To be honest, I wish I would have been born again before I got those boats upon another boat, upon another boat, and another boat in my former life. My former life meaning the old man. Because that ended up costing me over $85,000. Because I made wrong choices. Learn from it. But as Christians, practical righteousness protects you and I from wrong choices. Integrity and character is the other aspect that protects us from the advances and the attack of the enemy. And did you know, if we neglect to do what is right, and that's why I think I said it last week. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in the message. I carry me a can of Bondo. Now, so some of you don't know what Bondo is. And automotive body mechanics, Bondo is when you got to cover up them rusted holes to patch up the body when it gets dented or banged up or rusted away. But did you know if we neglect to do what is right, we will allow holes to get into our armor. That's a warning. If you neglect to do what is right, you will allow holes to get into your armor. And that's how Satan can kill you. If our practice does not match our professions, the devil himself will use it as a beachhead. And y'all kind of familiar with that term. It's an opportunity and an opening. That's what it becomes. See, whenever you allow holes to get into your armor, it becomes an opportunity and an opening for him. And when he gets in, it becomes a stronghold in our lives. And man, look, if you read up on some of the stuff in World War I and World War II, and some of these soldiers used to say, when the enemy used to get into those foxholes, whoo, it was hard to get them out. If you fail to practice what is right, if you neglect your spiritual armor and allow holes to get into, then that thing becomes a stronghold in your life. See, folks, when a believer and a follower of Jesus is clothed in practical righteousness, pay attention, when you are clothed in practical righteousness, you are impregnable. Nothing can get through. Words are no defense against accusations, but a good, righteous life is. Living a practical, righteous life prevents the devil from finding a foothold into your life. So remember that the road that you choose includes the destination at the end. I love that saying. I forgot where I found it from, but be careful. The road that you choose, my friends, includes the destination at the end. You got to see it through. I forgot it was the Baptist convention I've been to. The speaker, he said this somewhere in Alaska. I forgot the name of the village, the town, or whatever it was. But they had a sign right at the entrance of the road. And the sign said this: choose your ruts carefully, because you will be in them for the next 200 miles. Wow. Putting on the breastplate means choosing the road less traveled, the actions less praised. So in closing, to sum all this up, I'm sorry it's going longer because, again, I can't speak quick enough. I can't speak fast enough because it's causing a lot of pain right now just to do this. How do we practice practical righteousness? How do we practice practical righteousness? I never really gave that much thought. But you know the answer to that? Do what the Bible says. That's it. That's all. Nothing more. Nothing fancy. To practice practical righteousness, just do what the Bible says. What does it say about relationships? What does it say about money? What does it say about lust and temptations and addictions and many other things? What does it say about prayer? What does it say about church membership, attendance, giving? Folks, practical righteousness is living out what Jesus has placed into our hearts. Why do we practice our good works or righteousness? Why do we do that? If you heard me earlier, and I mentioned this in a scripture I read from Matthew. So people will glorify God in the process. That's why we do it. Not for glory for ourselves. Not pointing attention to ourselves. Not looking at me, oh, look how good I'm doing. I'm a good Christian. Yeah, I got it together. Look at me. Y'all wish y'all were like me. No, you don't wish you were like me. I'm probably worse off than you. I'm not good. I never will be. Do I have it together? No. We are to practice our good works and righteousness to glorify God only. and not paying attention to ourselves. Another pastor friend of mine, I love it how he puts it. I must decrease in order for him to increase. And that's how you should think. I put myself at the bottom. I need to start glorifying you more. And when we start glorifying God, and we do so by glorifying God, then other people can hear the good news, because they not only can hear it, but they can see it by your actions. And when they hear the good news, they need to hear the good news. We need to purposely put it into our heart to be righteous in God's eyes. And when we do that, people can hear the good news, so that way when they hear it, they will understand that the enemy of our souls will find no place in our armor to attack us. That's how you can live a victorious life. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I'll leave you with this. Do you have a clean heart? Do you have clean hands? When God gives clean hearts, it results in clean hands. If we are careful to guard our hearts with the fellowship of Jesus, if we are careful, yes, we have to be careful. We have to understand where all that protection comes from. The moment you think you're going to step away and get bold, oh, I'm going to do this on my own without your help, Lord, watch out. You're putting a kink into your armor. And the reason why I tell you to guard your hearts, folks, the reason why guarding your hearts is so important, why that breastplate is so important, your hands will end up doing what your heart demands. Wow. So put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Let's pray.